Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
How can small changes get you big results in your career, health, and relationships? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. And in just a minute, we're going to talk about small habits that can change your life. But first, congratulations on being a lifelong learner and being proactive with your career. You turn on the LeadX Show as you tie your sneakers in the morning to go out on that morning jog, or maybe you're turning on the show when you turn on your car for your morning commute. Either way, when you listen, you know LeadX will help you to stand out and get ahead. So tell your friends at work, LeadX is the smartest way to start your day. Today's 1 minute career tip is remember DDR. Each week as you look at your schedule and task list, ask yourself the DDR questions. Can I drop it? Can I delegate it? Can I redesign it? Those three questions might actually save you 8 hours a week. And I was pretty skeptical of those results myself, but that's what was reported in Harvard Business Review. Studies showed that people are so busy being busy that they forget to slow down and ask why they're doing the things they're doing. And is there a better way? So if you pause at the beginning of your week to reflect on your tasks, how valuable is this task? What would happen if I just dropped it? Am I the only person who can do this thing? Can I delegate it? How can the same outcome be achieved in half the time? Can I redesign the process? You just might save 8 hours a week. DDR. And before I introduce our guest today, big thanks to all of you who have subscribed over on iTunes and left a short rating and review for the show. It only takes a minute, but it's the best favor you can do for me. Our guest today is a Wall Street Journal bestselling author of over 70 books. He's one of the most successful independent authors on the planet, and he's a leading expert on developing good habits. In fact, his new book is Habit Stacking, 127 Small Changes to Improve Your Health, Wealth, and Happiness. Our guest is Steve Scott. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Kevin.
Steve, we're going to talk about habit stacking in a minute, but I always invite our guests to share a time when they failed. So you tell us a time when you failed, what you learned from it, because we want to learn from your pain too.
Honestly, I make mistakes and fail every single day, and I think that's part of my growing experience. But I would say the biggest failure in my career was I got into internet marketing, affiliate marketing, back in 2004. And for many years, I kind of just relied on gaming the system and kind of manipulating either the Google search engine or YouTube. And I would have these quick, small websites that would make a little bit of money. But there was one small algorithm change that would just pretty much put me out of business overnight. So I guess the biggest failure was around 2007 when Google made a pretty much a broad sweeping change. And I was almost, like I said, completely no revenue coming in overnight just from one small change. And I guess the biggest lesson I learned from that is not to necessarily just rely on one platform or one kind of single point of failure, and to build something that can stand the test of time. And at the end of the day, also provide value to my followers. So moving forward from then, I decided to build something where I do have an audience. And even if there is a change down the road, I still have those loyal followers that I could kind of move to somewhere else in case something happens. So I guess that was a big lesson that I learned kind of the hard way.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's so important no matter what you're doing. I mean, certainly the internet entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs of any kind, to only, you know, to have all of your revenue coming from one source is dangerous. And even as a larger company, it was my second business when I went to go shop it, to sell it. Several companies, when I would sit down eyeball to eyeball with their CEOs, they would all say the same thing. Kevin, you have too much revenue coming from one big client. It was a big pharmaceutical company at the time. And they, you know, as much as I would say, oh, but it's safe business and a great relationship, you know, they said, what if they have a bad year? What if they get acquired? Like, we can't have that risk tied up in any one area. And even in our individual careers, I mean, I would be nervous. You know, I don't think anybody this day and age should say, hey, I've got this job at, you know, Acme company, and this is the only thing I need to worry about. You know, it's this day and age, we all need multiple sources of revenue, or be ready, you know, to move on to another career or job if we need to.
Yeah, definitely. I have actually a freelancer friend who is going through that right now, where he has one major client. The client decided to completely take away the business, and now he's left with pretty much almost like nothing at this point, even though he's been working diligently for this one client for many years. And I feel for him, but it's kind of one of these things you really have to think of a what if scenario. What if I lose that one client? What do I do then? And make contingency plans, or like you said, multiple streams of income.
Yeah, that's right. So Steve, your book is, again, Habit Stacking, 127 Small Changes to Improve Your Health, Wealth, and Happiness. Most of these habits can be done in 5 minutes or less. So what do you mean by this term habit stacking? Why is it so powerful?
So the way I kind of look at it is you want to sit down and think of your goals and think of the habits that you should do to complete those goals. A lot of them are, you know, like 30 minutes to 2 hours a day of daily effort. But some of them are just small, these kind of these small, tiny goals that are easy to kind of slip through the cracks. So my kind of premise is you take all these goals that you know you're supposed to be doing on a daily basis, and you just kind of group them together, and you just put them together in a morning routine or an afternoon routine, or kind of built off a different part of your day. And what this does is this kind of removes the cognitive load and the stress of, all right, I have to do these 10 different tasks. You just go through one simple checklist. You do all these habits all in a row, and you can actually start your day or end your day with just a series of major wins. And I kind of took a lot of this by the checklist manifesto from Atul Gawande. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
But the idea is you just kind of run your life through a bunch of checklists. And you don't necessarily have to think about all these habits. You just pull this checklist and complete, you know, habits 1 through 7, and then you can carry on with the rest of your day.
Now, so let me just ask you, give me an example from your own life. And what I was going to say is are you still literally using like a printed or an online checklist, or at some point do you just, they're automatic? You start the first one and they just flow.
Sure. I'll answer the second question first. So you, at a certain point, you don't necessarily need the checklist. I just kind of use it as a reminder, even though I know a certain routine, I've done it like dozens and sometimes hundreds of times, I still like to pull up the checklist just in case something slips my mind. But for the most part, it is internalized by this point for, I guess, the stacks I've had forever. But two specific examples, I would say one of them for exercising. Now, a lot of the reason that people don't exercise is because they come up with all these sort of creative excuses for why they're not exercising. So excuses like, oh, it's bad weather outside, so I can't go out and do my run, or I forgot my shoes, or actually yesterday this happened to me. I forgot my biking pants. I don't have enough time today. I'm hungry. Like all those various excuses. So a good habit stack for that is to, like, you wake up in the morning, you schedule your workout, you identify right when you wake up if you're not working out first thing in the morning. You identify when exactly you're going to be working out that day, and you also add about 30 minutes of a buffer time. So you schedule it into your calendar like you would any other appointment. You check the weather. So I know this seems like a silly thing, but checking the weather that suddenly at 4 o'clock when you're supposed to go out and exercise, there's a lightning storm, you could have easily solved that by checking the weather. And then you can almost create like an if-then logic statement that, all right, if it's raining outside, then I'll do a workout at the gym. So I like to give myself kind of multiple ways to get a workout in just in case something doesn't work out. And also just like bring a bag of food if you get hungry right before a workout. Make sure you have all your equipment. It's silly things like this, but if you put it together in like a little quick 5-minute routine where you just run down, do I have all these things with me? Then you can easily follow through with your commitment to exercising. So that's kind of an example for exercising. There's actually one that I do for book marketing. I do this first thing in the morning. I just wake up. I'll go through the top 100 bestsellers list on Amazon. It's kind of the way that myself and our mutual friend Patrick King, we like to always see what's going on in the marketplace. I like to run through my Amazon ads, also my BookBub ads, and then run a split test on at least one of my squeeze pages. Now, these are kind of technical book marketing terms, but these are what I would consider the 80-20 of my business, these certain things that don't take very long, but they produce like a huge positive impact on my business. So I make sure that before I even start my writing every single day, I spend about 20 to 30 minutes doing these certain things that help kind of move the needle for my book sales.
No, those are great examples. And now this is funny. I don't know if you're even going to remember this, but as you were talking to me about your health stack and running, it triggered a memory. The first time, how we originally met a long time ago, is I read one of your books on running or jogging. I can't remember the title of it right now. And I emailed you and said, like, is this really true? Like, it was a pretty remarkable story. And we exchanged a couple emails. And this was years ago. This is how the first time I ever connected with you. I don't know if you even remember that.
I don't remember. Do you remember what the story was?
No, it's
funny. Actually, I knew we talked. I forgot how we actually started talking.
Yeah, I think we were in the same author group online. So I saw that you had published a book, or I was checking out, you know, your backlist. And I can't remember, it was something, but I remember one of the things that was funny you said was that you run so that you can eat anything you want.
Yes. It definitely sounds like I tend to eat whatever I want because I exercise like a maniac. So I guess I have that excuse.
Now, I want to talk to you about the concept of an anchor habit, because as you were talking about your stack and your health stack, like a little thing that I've done, you know, a couple of years ago that's really changed my life is I would always like forget to take my vitamins. I've got like a bunch of vitamins and supplements. And, you know, I know I'm supposed to be drinking a ton of water. I'd just be forgetting to do the water. And what I started doing was the one thing I never miss in the morning is my cup of coffee. So right next to the coffee pot, I put the empty Nalgene water bottle. And right next to that is it almost is a stack. I mean, there's probably now like 8 bottles of, you know, supplements and things. And so I just go from the coffee to fill up the water bottle, then use that water to guzzle down a bunch of pills. And I don't think I've missed a day in, I mean, ages now. And so to me, it was all because of the coffee habit was already there. Maybe that's an unhealthy habit, but I was using it to then trigger these other things. Is this making sense?
That's exactly what I would recommend. It's like you take an existing habit and you start attaching stuff to it. And that really is like what you could, what, I guess what you call an anchor habit. That's what I would consider a trigger. So you already have a trigger, like you have the coffee habit trigger. And I kind of do the same thing where I almost exactly what you described. I wake up in the morning, I weigh myself, I fill up a 32-ounce Contigo bottle. I just find just having a giant bottle, just having to fill it twice a day instead of having to fill something like, you know, you're supposed to drink 8 cups of 8 ounces of water. I'd rather just fill a ginormous bottle and just sip it throughout the day. And stuff like that. I'll start the tea kettle for my wife. I'll do the dishes, review goals, go over my priority goals. So I actually have like a real quick like 20-minute routine that leads into my book sales habit stack. And then my writing habit. So it's like, it's almost like boom, boom, boom. Within the first hour and a half, I've done like 24 things.
Yeah. And so how much, I'm just curious, you know, on a personal level. So how much of your morning routine, like how long is it before you get into your writing habit?
I would say it's a good solid hour, give or take. And there's just some days where I'll look at that. I'll look at a specific habit. I'm like, I'm just not in the mood. And I do give myself permission to skip certain things. And it's mostly things that are kind of important, but they're not really that important.
Right.
But for the most part, the health stuff I never skip, and the bookmarking stuff I tend not to skip. So I would say it's a solid hour from waking up to sitting down to writing. But I find that if I get into a writing zone, I used to skip a lot of the bookmarking stuff. So as much as I used to say, focus on deep work first thing in the morning, I've changed my viewpoint a little bit just for me personally to do the things I know help sell books and then get into my kind of deep work, which is writing.
Yeah. And I mean, I know everybody's different, but I mean, Dan Ariely, the behavioral psychologist, he talks about, you know, we are at our cognitive peak, usually 1 to 2 hours after we wake up for a 1 to 2 hour window. And so I started feeling guilty, the same thing, that I wasn't doing my most important task, my MIT, like immediately rolling out of bed. But I feel like as I'm drinking that first cup of coffee and emptying the dishwasher and feeding the cats and doing everything else, I need like that hour. And then I am more productive, you know, on that 1 to 2 hour of MIT work afterwards.
Yeah, I think there's something like your ideas are percolating, especially if you're kind of in the middle of a book or middle. I'm trying to think of other examples besides writing, because I'm sure not everyone listening to is a writer. But whatever you have to do, you start to think about kind of, it's almost like you're doing the work in your mind, especially if you're doing something completely monotonous like the dishes or something where it's manual labor, but it gives your mind an opportunity to kind of think of what you have to do for the day. I think there's something about like going from waking up to being fully like engaged with something. You kind of need that buffer, especially if you review your goals and start to like think of what you need to do that day. You get a little bit of excitement. I think you carry over that motivation into your first major task.
Makes sense. Now, most of our listeners on, you know, LeadX Show, they're early to mid-career professionals. I mean, everybody should hopefully start their health stack. Hopefully they're motivated now to really think about a great health stack. But what would be some other habits that would, you know, maybe help them in their career at work?
Okay, I'll list off 4 of them. I know you mentioned before, but actually I'm a firm believer in this myself. Always start your day by scheduling and focusing and starting with your three MITs, so the most important things. And I'm pretty sure your listeners have heard this before, but just wake up, identify the tasks that are super important or urgent at that moment, and get started with those first. And one of the things I do recommend is to work on those kind of long-term important but not urgent. So for me, it's like writing a book. It's no one's necessarily beating down the door to get you to work on it, but you know it's important for your long-term success. So I would say one of your first three MITs should be that activity. Another one, and this is a little bit anal retentive, but I find it's done wonders for me, is to track your time. And I literally mean create 10 to 15 categories of whatever you do for your career. So it could be one of them is email, one of them is like a deep work activity, one of them is meetings. So you really want to break down whatever you do into different buckets and to literally track it. The app that I use is called A Time Logger. I think you can find that at atimelogger.com. And you just create the different categories on the app itself and just run a timer every time you're engaging one of these activities. Like right now, I'm actually running the podcast interview tracker for this particular conversation. And it seems a little bit obsessive, but what you can do is at the end of the month, you can look at the different time spent in all these different buckets and start to do an analysis. So if you find that you're spending, you know, 20, 30% of your time in admin activities that really don't help your career, then maybe you should start to switch things around or try to find ways to eliminate time spent in that particular category. So that's number two. I would also put metrics behind your important outcomes. So the old adage, what gets measured gets managed. So I like to keep track of my word counts. If you're a salesperson, and keep track of how many people you've talked to, how many potential people you're trying to sell to, how many of those converted. So whatever is like the number one important part of your job, try to put as much metrics behind it as possible. And also, I guess number four would be an ongoing list of tasks. So what I like to do is actually have a WordPad file that I have kept open at all times. And every time I do an activity, I just write it down. And the idea here is kind of a little bit of what you talk about with your DDR technique, is once you have this kind of ongoing list of all the things that you do on a daily basis, look for things that you can delete, look for things you can delegate, or look for things that you can redesign or just get rid of off your plate. So I'm constantly doing that. I have a virtual assistant who I'm looking for ways to have her take stuff off my plate, or sometimes just look for different tasks that I can just completely remove. So the best way to find it, I just find, is just to have that ongoing list that you're constantly updating. So I know that I kind of just dumped about a bunch of things all at once, but those are four major ones that help.
Well, I was going to say any one of those could be, you know, they're all high impact. Any one of them could really have a career impact. The A Time Logger, is that a website or an app on the phone?
That's an app on, I think it's both the Android and the iOS devices. So it should be pretty much 90% of people should be able to access it. I think it is a paid app, so I think it's like a couple bucks. You can track your time other ways. I just find that that's the one app that really is pretty easy to figure out and use.
Yeah, I mean, this is a core principle of a lot of the productivity training, is often done as an exercise before you go into training, is like, okay, track your time to the minute, you know, for a week or whatever it is. And most people are shocked. I mean, they don't realize a lot, you know, how much time is spent on Facebook or social media or watching TV or whatever. I mean, people would guess how, or they always say how busy they are. They would guess how little free time, and they end up usually, you know, finding out they're not being quite as productive as they would like. And just for my listeners who know that I'm a schedule don't list kind of guy, if you don't want to use the app, I mean, if you were to look at my day calendar, there is no white space, because I'm blocking every 15 minutes doing something. And what I'll do is I'll adjust that, because, you know, whatever I've planned for the day, life happens. And so all of a sudden I'm not writing for an hour. I'm going to pick up my sick daughter at school or something. So I'll adjust what it is. So by the end of the day, it reflects reality. And then in my case, I have an assistant who will go through and tally up the different buckets, but it really is transformational, to say the least. So let me ask one last question. You've already given us so many things to try out, but I'm going to go for one more, because I always try to challenge our listeners to become 1% better every single day. So give us one more thing that we can try today. Challenge us, you know, to start us off on this habit stacking journey.
Okay. So the one thing I would recommend is applying the 80-20 rule. And I'm sure someone's talked about that before on your podcast, but the idea that 80% of your results come from 20% of your efforts. I would challenge your listeners to identify what is your 80-20. So what is the one thing that makes a huge difference in your career? And from there, I would challenge you to track your time obsessively. Maybe you only have to do it for a couple of weeks, but try to track your time obsessively and look for ways to remove the things that are getting in the way of your 80-20. So if you find that you're spending way too much time in email, then maybe apply Kevin's DDR technique. Try to find ways to streamline the time that you're spending your email so you can spend more time doing your 80-20 task. And just honestly, on a weekly basis, just look for ways to keep on improving that, improving that. And my goal for myself is to spend 50% of my time writing and marketing my books. And anytime a task gets in the way of that, I'm pretty ruthless with removing it or getting rid of it.
I love that. And so, I mean, you know, a lot of people claim they are challenged to find an hour a day to work on their, you know, their MIT. Your goal is to spend half of your time on that most important, you're either creating a new book or you're marketing a book, one or the other.
Exactly. And I would say that you can apply that to pretty much any career. And if you don't know what your 80-20 is, then maybe ask your boss or quickly try to find out what is the most value you're providing to your company or the company you're trying to grow, and just spend as much time in that zone as possible.
Yeah. Ask your boss, figure out what is the thing that your bonus is based on, or what are you going to be evaluated on at your performance review? You should be able to get to that MIT pretty quickly. So, Steve, I want to thank you for coming on to the LeadX show, and tell our listeners how they can find out more about you and your books.
Sure. So probably the two best places to go would be developgoodhabits.com and also my recent book, Habit Stacking, that I kind of mentioned a little bit in this interview. If you just go to habitstackingbook.com, they'll just redirect to Amazon, whether it's a print book, an ebook, and an audiobook. So definitely check that out.
All right, friends, you've just been mentored by the guru of good habits, Steve Scott. Don't forget, you can get the links that he mentioned and notes from this interview over at leadx.org. And you can get Habit Stacking from amazon.com. I encourage you to do that right away. So that's it for today's episode of the LeadX Show. But don't forget to download our free ebook, Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership, over at leadx.org/Branson. And until next time, remember, leadership is not a choice. You're a leader whether you want to be or not, because leadership isn't about authority, it's about influence. You influence with your words, but also your silence, your action, and your inaction. We are all leaders. Today, lead with intent.